Have you ever wondered how your child's interests and cues could be the key to unlocking an incredible parenting journey? Today, we're thrilled to share a sneak peek into our latest podcast episode featuring Teresa Alexander Inman, a phenomenal parent coach with over 10 years of expertise. In this episode, Teresa unfolds the beauty of meeting your child where they are. She passionately emphasizes the importance of not judging yourself as a parent and also not letting others pass judgment. According to Teresa, recognizing and understanding your child's interests and cues is the cornerstone of effective parenting. I'm certain this episode will resonate with you as much as it did me. So thank you for joining me today. You will love this. Does your child have a speech-language delay and you really want them to talk? Do difficult behaviors derail home life and you know the frustration is a communication struggle? Does your child see a speech therapist and you wonder, what do they do and how can I help? If these or similar questions are in your mind, this podcast is for you. Hello, my name is Dina Lynn Rosenbusch. I am a speech-language pathologist that has worked with children from birth to 21 for 3 decades. And in my classrooms, I see you wanting to connect with the heart of your child, but their speech and language skills create a barrier. So if you have a kiddo that has difficult behaviors, needs to expand their language or learn to say speech sounds, and maybe even receives speech therapy, stay tuned, because in this podcast, you will learn how to use your daily life as a tool to communication practice and how to do that practice. You will become confident knowing you are making the difference you want to make. And you will hear success stories of parents who have navigated these struggles already. We'll do this all while focusing on building deep, meaningful connection and confidence in your kiddo. So grab a cup of coffee along with a notebook and pen. It's time to speak in the way your child's brain understands. And that is the language of play. Hello, parents. We are continuing our March guest episode month. Every episode this month is a guest. So I hope that you are enjoying them as much as I've been enjoying meeting tremendous, fabulous people. Along the way, I am still here for you, for your communication curiosities that you have with your child when you're wondering, why is my child doing that? Or why don't they listen? Or what is going on when they can't say these sounds or link these sentences together? If these are concerns of yours, feel free to email me at hello@thelanguageofplay.com and we'll start a conversation. In the meantime, keep listening to the podcast and sign up for my newsletter, and also check in the show notes because there is a freebie of 21 days of encouragement. Now, let's get on with today's show. Hello. Thank you for being here today. Teresa Alexander Inman has more than a decade of experience and is an accomplished parent coach with expertise as a board-certified behavior analyst and infant-toddler development specialist. She helps parents whose children may be at risk for developmental delays or are not meeting expected milestones. She adds play and mindfulness in her signature program. She's an author, How Can I Help My Child Communicate? She offers practical strategies for promoting communication skills in young children. So, listeners, you can see easily why it is that she is a perfect match for this show. We have a lot of things that we talk about in common. So let's welcome Teresa Alexander Inman. Thank you for being here, Teresa. I'm so excited to hear from you and hear what you have to say.
Thank you so much for having me, Ms. Dina. I'm just really glad to be here.
Yes. Tell me how it is that you got involved in your early childhood interests.
Well, the journey started actually in juvenile justice because I wanted to help children somehow. And I thought, okay, maybe juvenile justice was it, but then it wasn't it because we work with young children and, well, not so young, but teens, preteens, and they would reoffend. And I thought, okay, this is not it. Then I was introduced to behavior analysis and I thought, oh my goodness, love it. But then with behavior analysis, we saw children 3 and up. And I thought, okay, I need to really get to the babies because we know that is the best window, the greatest window of opportunity for change. So then I studied to be an infant toddler developmental specialist. And, you know, thinking back to when my second son was born prematurely, I had no idea what I was doing. I was told, take him home and come back. And I didn't know they were looking at developmental milestones. I didn't even know the term. I'd never even heard it. That was 36 years ago, though.
You've learned a lot in that time, haven't you?
I certainly have. And by the grace of God, or what Bob Proctor said, you know, refers to, I was an unconscious competent because I had no idea what I was doing somehow or other, though he met all the milestones and thrived, did really well.
Yeah. What would you attribute that to? What do you think you were unconsciously competent about? And also, why don't you explain that term? That's not something that I've gone over yet in any podcast.
So basically, I did the right thing without knowing I was doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I guess maybe it's a natural gift. I have no idea. It's just something that I did because my first son was 1 year and 9 months when my second son was born, and he just blew through milestones. So we just replicated what we did with him. And the fact that my younger son also had a brother, because children learn more from each other than they ever will from us, right? Because mm-hmm. we know if the model looks more like us, you know, studies show that we're more likely to learn from them. So he had a brother who was not that much older than him, so who taught him a lot. I mean, my older son just took my baby under his wings and wanted to do everything for him. I mean, change his diaper, everything. Like, what if there's, you know, things that you don't like? He goes, it's okay, mommy. I'll just use lots of wipes. And I was just like, okay, fine.
You know, that is so good you bring that up because our children do learn so much from their siblings. And that's unconscious competence right there, isn't it? Those little kiddos, the siblings, don't even know that they are teaching. They don't have any thought of that. They just are competent at being a child. And so they teach by example.
Yes. And we can learn so much from them when we tune in to children. You know, I've found in my practice that if I let a child lead me, listen, that is going to be the best experience for both of us. Because, you know, sorry, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, let me ask you to explain that. Because sometimes when parents have heard that, the parents that I've coached, they say things like, well, why would they be the leader? I'm supposed to be the parent. And so I have to explain this concept of letting the child lead. Take it away.
Okay. So basically, cue into what your child is interested in. Whatever it is they're doing, do it with them. Follow their lead. Go with the flow of what the child is doing. Because what we tend to do as adults, we try to bring children into our world where they're not comfortable yet. They haven't learned to be comfortable in our world. So go into their world, get comfortable there, and then you will be amazed what your child will learn from you afterwards. But allow them to accept you in their world. Do it without any demands. Just have fun with them. Get down to their level and just enjoy being their parent.
Exactly. Now, let's say I have a parent that is listening and they're thinking, I don't want to get down on the floor. I don't want to play Legos yet again. The kind of play isn't what I feel like doing because in their mind, play is this certain prescribed thing. How would you talk to that parent about entering the child's world, but maybe in a different way? So the parent doesn't have to play Legos for the 50th time this week.
Right. Maybe they can take a few of the Legos and embed it in something else because the child already likes Legos. So you don't want to make it something new. I mean, honestly, I could have been really brash and said, well, it's not about you, it's about the child. However, if you're really not feeling Legos at the moment, just take a couple of Legos. It won't hurt you. And bring it into the new thing that you want the child to do, the different thing, the thing that you're interested in doing. So that way they get introduced to something new while still having the Legos there. Almost like a little comfort for them, right? Because you're tying in something that they love and that they're interested in into something new. So it makes it easier for them to get involved in that new thing.
Fantastic. Love it. I've even had Legos talk to the children. It's time to eat lunch now. I think I'm going to go to the table and eat lunch, the Lego says to the little kid. And then we go together and the Lego sits there at the lunch table because my motive at that point was to have the child eat. So yes, that is one fantastic way to have that happen. Now, you also coach parents. Tell me about how your coaching program works. What is it for? Mm-hmm.
It is for parents whose children are not meeting developmental milestones. So how to engage, how to connect. Because again, if you're not connected and engaged with your child, they're not going to learn from you. So just simple ways, simple strategies to get parents to do that. And a lot of it has to do with bringing out your inner child. Now, I know that's kind of difficult because I've met with parents who did not know how to play with their children because they did not play themselves. And, you know, the first time that happened, I thought, oh, you know, I was a little surprised. But then I thought, girl, we all have different experiences and you just have to come from a place of non-judgment and understand that, like I said, we all have different experiences and it's just about being open to the parent, to meet them where they are, wherever that is, and then help them along.
Right. Sometimes parents come to us as coaches without having had good role models in their parents themselves. So then maybe their play skills or maybe their imagination skills or maybe their connection, communication, all of that are not fully developed well. So sometimes our parents need to work on how it is that they listen and how all of those skills. So yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, you know, I want to just keep stressing because stressing that there is never any judgment. You know, I'll walk into a home or if we do it virtually, you know, when I do virtual, I have my little baby that I use for the young ones and show parents what to do and how to do just so that they get comfortable. And, you know, because it's nice when you have a model, right? So this is what it looks like and I can guide them, you know, something that you can put an earbud in and I can coach them through whatever the situation is without it being so invasive.
I love that. That's so good. So I want to know also, like, your thought on our connection. Like, I'm a speech path, or speech pathologist, and my focal point is connection and communication. You are behavior analyst, and your focal point is connection and communication. I look at kiddos that have speech and language delays. You're looking at kiddos with developmental delays. We are quite similar. So how would you differentiate what it is that we do, or do you see that differently? Tell me your view of that.
You know, we do a lot of things the same. However, my particular certification is not as a speech pathologist. So I collaborate with speech pathologists. When I've reached my know-how, my limit, I call in my speech pathologist friends and say, hey, listen, this is where we are. And they do the same with me. Like, they're like, listen, I've done all I could. Now it's your turn. We tap out because it's really important. I know a lot of behavior analysis has gotten a bad rap. ABA, applied behavior analysis, a lot of people say it's abuse, it's this and it's that. And, you know, I've heard a lot of that. However, the way I do it, I'm just going to say it's because I've done play project. I'm an ITDS, an infant toddler developmental specialist. So I do a lot of play. I'm not a classical behavior analyst.
I've never heard that there was like bad rap for behavior analysts because I've used some fabulous help from people that are behavior specialists. So I didn't know that there was any kind of bad rap at all.
Yeah, there is. I joined a Facebook group and they're like, don't talk about ABA and don't talk about, you know, like autism speaks. And they were just like saying, no. And there are a few of them that did that. And I thought, and then somebody says something about ABA. So go ahead.
Let's address that. So can you tease out for our listeners, we've got a certification and expertise that you have that you are successful in, that you see used well, but you also know that not every professional in every area uses something well. You know, like I know that there are speech pathologists too that don't do a good job, but that doesn't mean that I don't do a good job. Right. So same for you. Now, can you talk to the listeners? This is something I don't know. Talk to them about what is the problem or the solution. Can you explain this in a way that opens up my mind too?
So what I've heard, because with ABA, there's a lot of repetition. People sit at the table a lot and, you know, they work on teaching skills and it's very repetitive. There's what we call extinction. So basically, if a child wants something, or if they're engaging in a behavior for attention, the remedy for that is ignoring, right? But there's a way to do it that it's not teach replacement skills, and to do it in a way that's not so rigid and with more compassion.
Yeah, show us one example. So if a parent is listening to this and their toddler is perpetually saying, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, I want your attention, in whatever form, usually behavior, that's happening, how would you communicate that to the child? How would you be the parent? Give us a good role play so that parents are listening and they're saying, oh, that's how to do it. I can do that.
So first of all, if a child is engaging in behavior for attention, right? Problem behavior for attention, the goal is whatever they're doing that is not problematic or challenging, give them as much attention as possible. Satiate them with attention so that it prevents them from having to engage in a challenging behavior to get that same attention. Because, you know, when children engage in challenging behaviors, we're quick to, you know, first our voices are up here, right? And we're quick to respond. But little Susie is sitting at the table drawing, and we're like, oh, that's what she's supposed to be doing. So we'll just ignore her. But then as soon as Susie starts screaming and crying, we run to her.
Right.
So we've taught Susie that that is when we come to you. So we want to change that, right? Instead of yelling, use your high tone voice, you're loud when your child is engaging in behaviors that are acceptable, right? Wow, Susie, look at you. That is so, you know, look at that drawing. And I honestly try to avoid saying, I like something, because then that child will always go, mommy, do you like it? Do you? No. Listen, oh my goodness, look at the colors that you've used. You're so creative. And use those terms and be excited when you speak to your child, right? So that when they're engaging in problem behavior and use monotone and your voice is softer and you're speaking a little slower, it's not as reinforcing, right? Now, if they do have that, you know, once they have that tantrum, you want to first validate their feelings, right? I understand you're upset. You know, if it's because they want something, this is not available right now. You can have it when. Let them know when they're going to have it. A lot of times that stops it. And when you're very brief, that also removes the attention from there. So if there's an attention component that could be reinforcing, you've removed it because you're not lecturing it, you know, because how many times have I told you better than, and we're going on and on and on, right? And making it this big show and the child is just enjoying it. You have a captive audience. So you want to make sure that you're limiting that attention and validating their feelings. And if that child, honestly, if that child is under three, give that child a hug and help them. If they're not, sometimes it's important to allow children to self-soothe. But again, that has to be done with compassion and with love, right? It's not just, you know, just leave them alone. Make sure they're safe. Make sure, you know, they know that you are there with love. And children know it. I've allowed some children to tantrum and parents are like, they're not going to like you. 20 minutes later, they're coming up to me, hugging me, because I believe children can feel your intent. Children can sense your energy. They know. And because of that, the moment always ends with fun.
I think that that's really, really important for the listeners to know about the self-soothe thing, because our children, they do need to learn how to self-soothe. And when they do learn that, and they've had this tantrum with you and you haven't gotten upset, and then they eventually come back to you and hug you, all of that happens. But there's this time in there, there's a transition where they learn to self-soothe. And part of that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that it's because you didn't get upset by their tantrum. It happens in that experience of them feeling your calm, that you're okay with their feelings. You're not afraid of their feelings. And then maybe you are rocking in a chair or doing something that self-soothes you and they can watch. Do you do those kind of things?
Yes, absolutely. Or I'll hum a tune or, you know, something like that, something that soothes me. Or, you know, I'll talk to myself. Sometimes I'll pretend I'm on the phone and talking to a friend and saying, oh, as soon as Susie calms down, then we get to do this fun thing, you know, and so that they know, just as a reminder, that this is going to happen. Right. Mm-hmm. And you hit the nail, because remaining calm is so key, and not taking it personally. Our children don't do these things to get us upset. They don't make us upset. We choose to become triggered And when we do, we have to ask ourselves, why did we become triggered, right? Maybe it's something from our childhood that was brought forward. So we want to be very mindful that we're not punishing them for something that we need to take care of.
Right, right. Very well said. So many good words of wisdom coming from you today, Teresa. I appreciate it. Thank you for pouring into us. If you were going to leave my listeners with 1, 2, 3 main ideas, what would you say they are? I started taking notes, but I'm thinking I'll just ask you first. I'm not sure if I got them down quite as well. And if we got different ones, well, I'll just say what I have. But what do you have?
So I'll say, first of all, don't judge yourself and do not allow other people to judge you, because you are doing the best you can with what you know and the information that you have. So that's one thing. Meet your child where they are, because, you know, a lot of times parents say, well, I want my child to do this. Well, before they can meet your goals, there's certain prerequisite skills that they need to have before that. So before they're talking, they need to learn to imitate. Their foundational skills that they're going to need before that. So don't be afraid that your child won't meet them, because especially if you start with early intervention, right? That birth to three window is such an, I mean, it's my favorite window of life.
It is a fun one.
Yes, you can make so many changes, right? And I can get on the floor and play and do all those things, right? So, because my husband's always like, you're always working. I say, I play with children. It's not work. You know, it's just, we have fun. So make sure you're meeting your child where they are. Look at them where they are and try to figure out the things that your child likes by looking at them, by engaging, seeing what their eyes move towards. Even though they may not be physically playing with that toy, what are they spending their time looking at? Right. So cue in to your baby, look at them and just get to know them. And I know it sounds, oh, well, I know my child, but there are a lot of times we miss things. Like I'll walk into a home or, you know, even be virtual, and I'll say something to a parent. They're like, oh, I didn't realize that, right? Because when we're coming in, we're objective, right? We're looking from the outside. And when you're in the water, it's hard to see the shark, right? So, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So
we have a lot of metaphors that say that same thing.
Right.
Yeah. So what I have from you is don't judge yourself. And then you said, or let others judge you. And of course, we can't control that from others, but we can control whether or not we take it in. If we allow it to ruffle our feathers. Mm-hmm. The second thing is to meet your child where they are. And you expanded so nicely on that. And the third thing that I wrote down was cue what your child is paying attention to, because that's where our objectivity. I'm going to also bring up what you brought up at the very beginning, which is in my notes, unconscious competence. It's a good theory and phrase to know, because when we do things well and we aren't even aware that how we know or that we're doing them, it's a really good area that you can anchor in some good strengths. A lot of those unconscious competence things do come from your own childhood, even the same way as some of our pains come from childhood too.
Absolutely. And you know what I find though, there are parents who are the unconscious competence and they're doing a great job and they don't realize it. They're like, oh my goodness, it's not working. And I'm thinking, if you had only just kept going, we would have gotten there. You know, you would have gotten there, because, you know, they come to me and they're like, well, I was doing this and it wasn't working. It really was. Because when you look at the progress, where your child was, because again, when you're in it, you don't see it so clearly, right? So they didn't realize, because they'll say, oh, this happened. And then this happens. Like, hey, that's progress. They're like, really? Like, yeah.
Yep.
And then on the other hand, you have parents who are very, they feel competent. However, they're doing things that are not serving themselves or their child.
Right. And that's where it's so cool to be able to step in and teach and then watch the transformation happen as their awareness happens. So it's so good.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that summary too. And thank you again for being here today. You have given so much wealth of information for the listeners. And I really appreciate the work that you do. I hope we get to talk again.
Yes, I do too. I have your email address. I'll contact you.
Good. And do you want to leave my listeners with any information on you?
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote a book. I have it somewhere, but we won't worry about that now. It's called How Can I Help My Child Communicate? You mentioned it. It's you can find it on Amazon, you know, in print. And
I'll put a link to that in the show notes if you give me that. And then do you have, and whatever other contact information you want. So listeners, you can check the show notes if you would like to get a hold of Teresa Alexander Inman.
Yes. And my website is teresaalexanderinman.com.
Perfect. That will be in the show notes too. Thank you again so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've had so much fun playing with you.
I love it.
Hey parents, I hope you found this episode helpful. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and share it with a friend who also lives or works with children? I would really appreciate it if you would leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. I read every review and it lights me up to know that this show is making a difference. Then come join my Facebook community, where you'll meet other parents who are dedicated to helping their children grow too. You'll find the link in the show notes. Thank you for joining me. Now it's time to go. Let's pop our kiddos in the strollers and go look around outdoors and see what we have to talk about.